Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending. With real-time notifications, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
But, you know, as far as the world goes, like, I'm willing to put up with players who make mistakes when effort's not in question. For Zboril, he's like I said, I think I said it a few weeks ago. He doesn't have a motor is what I think I said. He's just out there. He's not a gamer is my point.
Mm-hmm. It's unfortunate too, because there was a lot of hope for him coming into the season that the injury that he had that knocked him out for the majority of the year, he never came back from it, was fully healed, and he was feeling comfortable and feeling confident in the way that his recovery had gone, his health. It almost was like he was getting a new lease on life. And coming into the season, there were a lot of high hopes for him. There are a few guys you can think of that came in with higher expectations than they ended up with, despite the fact that most of the team is playing to or above the potential we thought they had. The Riley, Zboril, Smith, these are some of the guys that have faded when we didn't necessarily expect them to fade.
You know, and when it comes to Zboril, and I don't believe I'm mistaken, because I'm looking at cap friendly, but he's making just under 1.4 this year and just under 1.4 next year. And then he's a UFA. And it's one of those situations where it's like, could he be a guy you try to move, right? Like, would teams be willing to take on him at 1.4 as opposed to Riley at 3.8 or whatever Riley's making?
Yeah, and the Bruins, you know, still having to take half of that, then it could be similar numbers.
Exactly. So maybe that could be something that they explore too. But, you know, if you put on the Bruins jersey, unless you're Mitch Miller, I'm never gonna actively root against you. Like, I want these guys to succeed. Like, hello. So I'm not like going out of my way to shit on Zboril. I'm just telling you what I see. He's a guy who's battling for position on this roster. He goes out there every game that he's out there, and he tries to rely on his natural ability to make the first pass here and the first pass there, and his skating ability. But when it comes to the nitty gritty of the game, which he's just not there for me. And bailing out on a play that leads directly to a goal that ends up being not the game winner, but pretty damn close to it, because you never recovered as a team. So, that's my thoughts on Zboril. Clifton, I think that he mentioned, did you have the interview with Connor, or was it Scott?
Yeah.
It was you.
Yeah.
So when you talked to him, he talked about having to step up his game with elevated minutes in the absence of McAvoy. And it's one of those situations where when things are asked of you, you step up to the occasion. And then when somebody comes back into that lineup, it's only natural to maybe kind of cower right under their shadow a little bit. And I don't think that's the case with him. I just think that taking him away from Lindholm didn't help, because he was playing the best hockey he's ever played as a pro alongside Lindholm. And quite frankly, Lindholm to me looked as good in a Bruins jersey when he was with Clifton as if he was with anybody else. I know they're trying to maybe get Carlo going and this and that and find different combinations just to have them. But
like, do you need to get Carlo going? Like,
no.
I feel like Carlo is the same player with most combinations, and he just played like he's not an offensive guy. You're not like, oh, let's see if we can get him to jump in the play more. No, you don't necessarily even want that. So he had like a shorthanded chance in the game today. But other than that, other than him teeing it off from the point, you're not like trying to get him going offensively or anything like that. So I agree with you on that point. That, and then it'll be interesting when Forbert comes back, because that changes the dynamic as well. Do you do like somehow a Carlo Forbert pair? It doesn't make a lot of sense on paper, but
it does. Yeah. If you tell them to use their size and just box people out and keep them to the outside. I think, again, if Clifton's going to play the way he was playing earlier with Lindholm, like, I just think the Bruins are better off just accepting the fact that we're going to put Carlo in the third pair. And, yeah, you know, if it has to change down the line, it has to change. But I just think it's no coincidence that, you know, Clifton isn't as noticeable right now because he's playing with Carlo. And when Carlo, or I don't know if he was playing with Carlo, maybe he was playing with Stralman.
Well, he was playing with Stralman to start the game. And he also last game was playing with Zboril.
Right.
He's somebody that brings those intangibles as well. So even though he wasn't as noticeable, he's still laying hits on guys. Like, he's still able to affect the energy level of the game and you know, step things up physically. And he has done that consistently throughout the season, though he was showing offensive signs and, you know, puck carrying and puck moving signs that he maybe didn't have in past seasons. And you don't want him to slow down, right? You want to keep the momentum going for him. So maybe move him back with Lindholm and keep, you know, McAvoy, Grizzlick a pair. And I'm perfectly happy with how those look. But there is going to be some sort of shakeup probably when Forbert comes back, just because, I mean, technically you could go Forbert Carlo, but what that looks like offensively is not really what Montgomery has described as his style, which is that he wants more of an offensive minded back end, especially in like joining the rush and different. You're not really going to see Carlo and Forbert joining the rush too much. So, scoreboard.
Yeah,
get them in there.
Exactly. I don't know. I just kind of think like if you have Carlo and Forbert on two different pairs, I think to play devil's advocate, you're kind of giving yourself.
You're slowing down two pairs.
Yeah, kind of. Like, I just think like if the Bruins come at you with McAvoy and Grizzlick and then Lindholm and Clifton, I just think you're a much faster team because it all starts with transition. And then, like I said, you can spot Carlo and Forbert with D zone draws and, you know, different, you know, it just, there's ways to go around it. And again, like, you know, Forbert and Carlo, like, they know how to play hockey. Like, they're capable of making breakout passes, but it's just a matter of, I don't know. It's just how I feel. Clifton was playing so well. Lindholm was playing so well. They've both gone a little quiet in the production category the last couple of games. And I just think there's something to that. Now, obviously, yeah, Lindholm played 26 minutes tonight and McAvoy mm-hmm. played 28. So he's obviously affecting the game in other ways. It's just,
yeah, they both had played over 25 minutes in regulation. They had eaten a lot of time, like we mentioned, because Stralman was getting less time too. That left more minutes for other guys. McAvoy getting power play time again. Lindholm with time on the second unit power play. One guy that never seems to fade is Charlie McAvoy. And a few more points to make about him. We already mentioned that one of his hits was kind of the turning point of the game. And he didn't have a point on the scoreboard tonight, but he was still obviously an influential player for the team. And so when coach was asked about him after the game, he gave another one of his little, Montgomery-isms and said he likes to compare the team to animals. So he said he's got God-given talent and the heart of a lion. So that's Charlie McAvoy. And Marchand is a Tasmanian devil and Greer is a tiger.
I think Monty just reads like 15 to 20 fortune cookies every game before every game, just gets these things in his mind because these are not thoughts a normal person has before a game. Dragons and tigers and bears, it's just, you know, oh my, it's just, I don't know what the hell is wrong with this guy, but I love
the Pooh Bears and the Meth Bears.
Yeah, exactly. No, I mean, yeah, McAvoy, like we said, just looking more and more comfortable. Like I said, I think I think the game against what game is it we were just referencing? What game did he have? Okay, so Tampa and the game before Tampa, I forget who it was against, but he had 6 points in those two games. And we commented on the last podcast about how offensively you see him getting back to who he is. But this game in particular really showed you, all right, he's got the confidence physically in that aspect of his game too now.
Mm-hmm. It was that Chicago game.
Yes, that's right. How could I forget?
Yeah, well, it's kind of forgettable. But I mean, it was a huge win, but still a little forgettable.
Yeah, yeah.
Against but a team that you're not worried too much about.
Yeah, but like, you know, now it's all coming together for him. Like he showed that the offense is now back. And again, even when he first started this year, back from injury, like he was playing great, especially for somebody who hadn't played and was just coming off of an injury and had no preseason to speak of, obviously. But what I'm saying is like McAvoy is, when he's on his game, he's a top, you know, 2, 3, 4 defenseman in the National Hockey League, and so he's at that point now. He's gotten back to that level of play, which when you're first coming back, the first few games, you're just getting your wind under you, your timing. But his offense is there. His reads are there. And the physicality is now there too. Like, you know, Svechnikov he's a big boy. He likes to play physical. You alluded to taking the two guys out at once, the bowling ball move. So he's there. He's back, and he looks like a hockey player now too. He's got the black eye and the stitches and stuff. Poor kid.
Oh, it's not good. Yeah, he doesn't shy away from being physical. And his his nose, his one whole half of his face is just swollen. That happened against Florida. His nose has a giant cut on it now, and he went out Thanksgiving to serve turkey and pies, and the Bruins had all these pictures up, and I'm like, is that Charlie McAvoy? Because that's how
he looked like Chucky from Child's Play, more like.
That's how unrecognizable his face was that first day after getting injured. And he did go down the tunnel for a little bit in that game against Florida and came back, which is obviously encouraging. But for a second, you're like, oh no, like that, this is not, there's some players like, okay, we have depth at defenseman, but you lose Charlie McAvoy and that's a different kind of story.
Absolutely. No, it was a huge, huge, sigh of relief there. So I guess we haven't really touched on the ending, Bridget, of this game. Maybe we did briefly, but David Pastrnak scores his 14th goal of the season. I'm looking at the league leaders right now. Jason Robertson in Dallas has 16 goals. What a good story he's been the last couple of years. Holy smokes.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, so Pastrnak gets the game-winning goal in the power play. Where is he now? Okay, so he's second in the league in scoring, right behind McDavid. So McDavid's got 35 points. Pastrnak has 32. Robertson has 31. Draisaitl 31. So he's playing some phenomenal hockey. Gets the game-winning goal in the power play in his office, and gives the Bruins the NHL record for home wins to start a season, which is. You know, anytime you can talk about NHL history, we'll talk about it for sure. I mean, that's pretty wild. when we're talking about a team entering the season where it was survive until Thanksgiving, right? And here we are at Thanksgiving, and they're 18-3, not bad. Given the obstacles the Bruins had to overcome from the drop of the puck this year with key guys out, for this to be the year that they set an NHL record for consecutive home wins to start a year at 12-0, in addition to their overall record of 18-3, it's just like, to say like anybody saw this coming just doesn't even begin to describe how unfathomable this start is for them.
And just a historic week in general, with Bergeron getting his 1,000th point. And then, you know, that's a big accomplishment, individual accomplishment, even though it feels like a team accomplishment, because a lot of the guys that have been around him for a long time, like Marchand, have helped him you know, set him up for that. Like, so they're a huge part of those points as well. So just that, even that felt like a team accomplishment. Bergeron was honored in the first period in one of the media timeouts. They showed him and they showed his 1,000th point, like the highlight. And then they had the tribute for him up on the board and the camera's on him. And he's just like waving like awkwardly because he hates the camera being on him and he hates like any sort of recognition of himself at all. And he talked about it after the game and he was like, I was really hoping they took the camera off me. I was very much done with having the camera on me because he just doesn't like that kind of stuff. He was more willing to talk about the history of it and the accomplishment. And obviously all of them were asked about it. Krejci was asked, you know, when you decided to come back this season, did you have any idea that this is going to be the start the Bruins are going to have? And he was like, no, none of us could really predict this one. Obviously, they knew they had a good team, but they didn't know they had a team that could just be so ridiculously resilient. And by the way, you could be a great team and still have at least one loss at home at this point in the season. Like they could have, even in like a close game, could have been, you know, an overtime loss today, but they haven't. So to be perfect at home is more than just like you're like a feat of a good team. It's unheard of, obviously, first time in I think 105 years that any NHL team has done it. So, and Bergeron said that too. He's like, it's the league's been around so long, over 100 years. So to do something like this is a big deal.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, think of the greatest teams to ever play in the NHL. They never did this, right? Like, that's the best way to look at it. So it's crazy. Did you, I meant to ask, they didn't show it on TV, so I couldn't really tell. Did you notice in person if the Hurricanes bench recognized Bergeron when they did?
Yep.
That's good. I was curious to see if they did that, but they didn't show. On TV, they like the camera that they use on TV was like ice level camera up at the scoreboard that like had Bergeron's name. I was like, why the hell would you choose an ice level camera to look up at the scoreboard? Like, you have cameras around the rink, you know, show the benches, you know, show this or that. It was just kind of like they showed Bergeron for like a second on the bench, but they didn't show like the crowd much or the opponents or anything.
In stadium, it was very different. In stadium, it was just Bergeron up on the board for like. Like it felt like 2 minutes straight and he was like, please take me off the board. He kept waving and like looking around like, oh, I'm still up there. Okay. I'll wave again. And then, you know, you'd think they would have panned to like some of the guys, but no, they just kept it on Bergeron. I mean, sure. Give him his moment. Obviously he deserves it, but he was uncomfortable as hell. And yeah, there was, you know, the building obviously got really loud for him and I'm sure he appreciates it, but he'll never talk about himself ever. So and the other team, obviously the Hurricanes showed him respect during the timeout. I didn't realize they didn't show it on TV, but how could you not? It's Patrice Bergeron.
Right. No, yeah, exactly. I was kind of like, well, that's things you like to see in that moment is kind of like the entire atmosphere. And yeah, they didn't show much of it. So Bridget, the Bruins have 3 days off. They actually have a pretty quiet week here. They have they got 3 days off, and they play the Lightning on Tuesday night. Then they have another like 4 days off, right? And then they play on Saturday against the Avalanche. So, and then Monday against Vegas. So the schedules, they have an opportunity here to rest up between some really tough matchups, which I think is important, right? I mean, you don't want to be playing these great teams in the middle of like a, you know, 3-4, because it's just you're not going to be able to give them their best and properly prepare for them. So I think these off days, as much as it sucks for us because we like to watch them play, especially when they're playing like this, I think it's good for the team to rest up. If Derek Forbert is available at some point in the near future, they're going to have to make a decision because they're going to be up against it cap wise, right? Like there's no. When he comes back, correct me if I'm wrong, but when he comes back, there's no more rope, right? Like they have to make a decision on something.
Yeah, unless for some reason they put Ullmark or Smith on IR, which doesn't look like they're going to have to do that. So Unless they somehow find more money to put on IR, then yeah, they're at the end of the line here. They've gone farther than we thought, right? We thought when McAvoy came back, that was it. But because of the Forbert injury and putting him on long-term IR, I assume that the move is coming soon here. We haven't really heard too much about the progress of Forbert, though. So we'll see when he's available. But
right, I mean, reporting that somebody's skating in practice doesn't really help you when it was a broken finger, right? Like, that's not going to affect their legs. So you can't really read too much into that other than the fact that, you know, he's out there and whatever. But all right. Was there anything else you wanted to touch on?
Oh, well, you know, they finally, today, technically, they released the Winter Classic jerseys that we already got a chance to look at and react right to the other day because it was leaked early. And mm-hmm. those are, in fact, the jerseys that we gave, what, like a C?
C+.
Yeah.
C plus with the potential to look like a B plus on the ice, maybe on some. They'll look better on the ice, but
it was a very anticlimactic reveal because of the leak early and because the response was like, meh.
Yeah. Well, I'll say this. I mean, they're better than Pittsburgh's. That's not saying much. I think Pittsburgh's are pretty bland. I mean, I think I can understand if people tell me Pittsburgh's are better, I would disagree, but I can see why one would think that. I mean, it's because it's like a light cream and it's kind of simple and whatever. I don't think there's much to them. But yes, they technically did unveil them today. And I don't know if I'm getting one. I'm not to sound like Scott. I don't really buy jerseys either, but if I were to buy a jersey, it probably wouldn't be this one.
Why don't you just buy like a Meth Bear beanie? And yeah. Call it a day.
Yeah, or like a starter jacket or something.
Or the Pooh Bear. The Pooh Bear is nice.
Yeah, no, that is nice. Hey, just like they're undefeated at home, they're undefeated in the Pooh Bears. So mm-hmm. I think they should keep them for longer than January. Because I think Scott said that they're done wearing them once the new year happens, so, which sucks.
I think they're going to have to change that. They already tried to wear them an extra time. Then they had to change them because they came out in warmups wearing white. And I forget who the other team was.
Vancouver.
They're also wearing white. And they're like, ah, that's right. You can't just wear theirs, whatever.
No, the Bruins thought it was a good idea to throw white jerseys on when they're playing a team from British Columbia that's like in the middle of a 2-week road trip. And, oh, you guys don't have your homes? All right, I guess we'll throw ours on. I don't know what they
that was odd. That was really odd.
Yeah.
So much jersey drama this year.
Yeah. Wow. What was some other drama? Anything? What was the other drama?
No, it's just, you know, the all the reveals and retros and everything.
Yeah.
Been a lot of fashion segments.
A lot of fashion segments. And hey, I don't think anybody's complaining. We like to talk fashion here. So poor Scott, his U.S. soccer team, I think it has like one goal in 180 minutes of soccer. So that's tough to sell the sport domestically.
Yeah, but you know, I saw someone tweet that the U.S. is undefeated against England since 17, whatever, like 77, forever.
1776.
But yeah, so. And then I saw Steve Perrault tweet, What was it? USA beats England nothing to nothing.
Yeah.
Because it felt like they were going to lose to England. So he just said USA beats England 0-0.
I saw that trending on Twitter. The trend was US wins 1, US wins 0-0. that. So whatever.
I don't know soccer, bro. I don't know how much the overlap is in the soccer crowd, the World Cup watching crowd to the Bruins crowd. I was getting texts about the soccer game during me trying to cover the Bruins, and I was like, "Yeah, no, I don't have it on." Someone was like, "Oh, you got the game on?" No. You want to know what other game I had on? UMass Amherst versus UMass Lowell and Belfast.
Is that what they're playing right now?
They're playing the Friendship Four right now, yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, look, I respect soccer. I respect, I respect
that it's... came out in, I think it was a Belgium jersey after the game. I mean, the guys on the team pay attention.
Yeah.
A lot of the European guys do.
I mean, it's the, you know, as much as we focus on hockey, I mean, soccer is the most popular sport in the world. So, I mean, I respect it for that reason. Like, I respect that. For me personally, not enough happens in the game for me to watch it. But, you know, anywho, I think when we start talking about soccer on the skate pod, there's probably not as many things to talk about hockey left. So I think we're probably good to wrap it up if you are.
Yeah, we're good.
All right. Well, thank you guys for listening. We will talk soon. Hopefully Scott's feeling better. We'll probably talk Monday or Tuesday after they play the Lightning in the rematch. So thank you for listening. Hope you all had a great Thanksgiving, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.